For the Drug Truth Network, this is Cultural Baggage with a special report from San Francisco on Ed Rosenthal's Wonders of Cannabis event. And in case any of you think people on the West Coast have slowed down their efforts, here to introduce things is Flora Goodtime for the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
We are a 21st century group of men and women, straight and queer, who have taken vows for the rest of our lives to promulgate universal joy and to expiate stigmatic guilt. So we came to give a little thing about ourselves and what we've done for the medical marijuana community. Part of our mission is the whole no shame, no guilt, and harm reduction. And as most of you know, the dispensaries were set up as a form of harm reduction, getting patients off the streets and into the clubs where it's safe and it's a warm, inviting environment. And thanks to Ed Rosenthal, Jack Herrera, Tommy Chong, and many other influential people, we now have a beautiful system set up here in California, and many other states, too, are catching on the fever. And it's a wonderful thing. If you could all just stand up real quick and raise your arms. I want you to think of a bright, warm, beautiful light, and it's shining down just on you. It's warm, it's comforting, it smells a little bit like ganja. Now I want you to think of that bright light, and it's going to get bigger. And it's going to move out from you into the walls of the room. It's going to leave the walls of the room, and it's going to enter the park. After the park, it's going to engulf all of San Francisco with this warm, beautiful, glowing light. That light is now going to be lifted and transcended across the globe, because each of you are carrying that light with you, and each of you will carry that message. Hold it. Think of that bright light. Fill it up the globe. On the count of three, you're all going to scream at the top of your f***ing lungs. One, two, three! All men, all women, and all together.
On the West Coast, they came, they saw, and they conquered. Never have I seen such a congregation of thought, of art, of medicine, and of knowledge sharing about one plant, cannabis, and of its many benefits to human society. Thousands of people gathered, they bought, they imbibed, and they returned home safely. Yes, cannabis is truly a wonder. One of the first people to hit the stage was Angel Raich, who, along with Diane Monson, had their case go before the U.S. Supreme Court. And though their case was denied, their actions have increased the fervor and additional actions against the U.S. government policy. Miss Angel Raich.
You know, it's funny because the last year has been incredible on so many different levels for so many of us. And I just want to thank everybody, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be up here, and I wouldn't be definitely doing what I'm doing today. In the last 3 years, my case has risen, it has fallen, and I hope that it rises again. You know, it's funny because the federal government seems to think that medical cannabis is going to just drift away into the sunset, and patients should just stop using cannabis, and that because the Supreme Court says that we shouldn't do it, that they're just going to automatically stop using their medicine. Well, I can tell you, and I'm asking you, if you're a patient, do not stop using your medicine, because that is the most crazy thing I've ever heard. If the federal government thinks that we're going to go away just because the Supreme Court said that we can't do what we're doing, they should really think again. I think that in the last couple of years, the medical cannabis movement has changed so much. The laws have waxed and waned and gone back and forth so much that I think that we really need to start banding together even more. Because as we go through these shifts and as we go through these changes, we become stronger.
The Wonders of Cannabis event was not simply a San Francisco occurrence. There were people there from all across North America.
I'm Danny Gere from Skunk Magazine. I'm actually the sales director for the magazine, which has been in circulation now for about, let's say, close to a year. We're at our eighth issue.
There's late-breaking news. Marijuana may, in fact, help prevent cancer. It certainly doesn't cause lung cancer. The government still try to say it causes psychosis and bipolar disorders, but they are unable to prove that. It's just more superstition, is it not?
Yes, I think it's more superstition than anything else, because actually around our area in Quebec and Montreal, they've actually now declared it as a medication for all the AIDS patients. Every person who suffers from HIV gets their exemption instantly now in Montreal. If you're HIV positive, you get your exemption right away, and they say that it's really good for the AIDS patients and everything, because it brings back your appetite, and it brings back a couple of other things as well. You know, it just makes you live better too, because you can eat, and that's what's the most important thing is when you eat, you know. But I think medical marijuana is something that should be more used by the doctors. The doctors, I think, are too scared around our area. I don't know how it is here in San Francisco, but in Montreal, it's a whole different thing.
Here in San Francisco at the Wonders of Cannabis event, and I'm here with a segment. I wandered by, I saw your booth. You guys are selling, looks like a new product. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're introducing today the 420 syrup, which is meant for pancakes and waffles. It's been on the market for a couple months. I've got one store that carries it, and we were holding out for this event to be able to introduce it with a pancake booth. And as the looks of things, people are pretty interested. We're excited.
Well, and I would say so. I mean, it's amazing the various uses of this plant, from the hemp product all the way up through the various strains of marijuana. I hear they even make milk out of it sometimes for those who have a hard time with vaporizing.
Yeah, I've you hit the nail on the head when you bring up vaporizing. It's people that can't smoke that have had the most positive results coming back to me, that have led me to basically commit my life to this business, because we're making a medicine that people from all walks of life are getting back to me with these positive results. That it there's amazing things you can do with pod. It can be saturated and extracted in so many different methods that there is really no limit to what kind of edible consumption you can do. And this is the most truest form of medicine you can even think of, simply because they're not smoking it. This isn't about bong hits and freedom to be a rebel and that kind of thing. It's about way of life. It's about quality of life. People that can't even afford medicines right now that are being prescribed by a doctor that don't work, and thereby hindering their life with their finances. I'm providing something that's inexpensive in a way that is reaching so many different illnesses and things that it's a shame. And we hope that one day we can get the federal government to allow us to study this even further, because when you add into it organic growing methods and how you can mix those into foods, even just on single serving quality steaks and all kinds of things, it's just, there's no limit to it. And it's we're excited to be sharing this with the world here right now.
All right, I'm here with Steve Levine of the Hemp Industry Association. How are you enjoying this Wonders of Cannabis event?
It's wonderful. I mean, it's having a great time. There's all these great people here. It's like a reunion, always coming to these things and seeing some old friends, making some new ones. It's a lot of fun.
And we have the chance to hear people speaking truth. Many notables, people with experience in the drug war, with problems resulting from the drug war, and trying to lead us towards a better path. Your thoughts on that, sir?
Right. Well, my experience has been with the Hemp Industries Association. I'm president of this nonprofit industrial hemp trade group, and we've been fighting our own wars with the DEA to avoid the outlawing hemp food, which is what the DEA tried to do, calling hemp food dangerous because of the THC content. Now, even though there's more opiates in poppy seed muffins than there is in hemp THC and hemp food, they went after it. So we had to take them to court and block the order and have a hearing and take them and do it again. And it was a 3-year battle, and we basically kicked their ass and won a lawsuit, which was pretty much unprecedented. And hemp food, which was never illegal, is now strong and moving forward. And the DEA just called it quits on a ridiculous attempt to outlaw hemp food. It's like trying to outlaw, you know, bread, soy. It was so ridiculous. But in the end, it turned out good for us. And the thing is you just got to keep battling. Like in the medical marijuana world, you know, you just kind of do what you got to do, and it's become such a strong movement now, the cannabis movement in whole and the medical marijuana movement in particular, that I think if we just keep doing what we know is right, eventually right will win.
Well, it's rather sad to say that the acoustics from the stage there in San Francisco were not too conducive to recording. I don't have a quality speech to bring you from Mr. Tony Serra, the world-renowned defense attorney, nor do I have much quality that I can bring you from Mr. Eddie Lepp, the Californian who grew 32,000 plants beside a California highway. But due to his practice stage presence and better use of a microphone, I was able to capture a good bit of Mr. Tommy Chong.
When Ed asked me to, if I would like to come and be part of the festivities, I declined because, you know, I've been asked to do the Cannabis Cup almost every year in Seattle Hemp Fest. I've been asked to appear at all these places. And the reason I decline is not because I don't believe in the cause, because obviously, you know, I do. When I'm working, I can't smoke. And I'm working and I can't smoke. And you don't know what it's like, man, being a flathead like I am and being around all you guys and then having to go around those things. And I go, you know, I felt like I'm back in jail. I did go to jail, and actually it turned out to be a big plus for my career. It really helped my career. I mean, it elevated me from a partner of a comedy team to a drug icon. And I like that title, man. Because, you know, everywhere I went, especially in jail, even in jail, I got respect from the guards, man. It was, and by the way, all that Bubba stuff, that homo stuff, you know, that jail, it's not true, man. It doesn't hurt. But the guards, it was weird, man, because I'm in jail, and I'm a prisoner, and they're telling me, you know, like every other prisoner, you know, they strip you naked and they search you all the time. And, but it's really weird being searched by a fan. I got all your records on me. Turn around, man. Okay, I'm in room. Yeah, I like up and smoke, man. I lick your balls. One time I bent over and the guy looked at my butt and goes, so have you seen Cheech lately? I go, no, why? Is he up there? But that's the only sad thing about my whole thing that I went down. You know, Cheech and I were supposed to be doing a movie, you know. But when I got arrested, Cheech got a little scared, you know. Because he was afraid to come to visit me, you know. Because he knows that, like, when you get busted by the feds, if you turn somebody else in, you get some time off. So Cheech knows me. He did it. Well, a lot of people wonder why, you know, we broke up. And I thought about it long and hard, because I didn't even know we'd broken up. I thought we were still together until I saw the last Cheech and Chong movie and I wasn't in it. But I'll tell you why we broke up. We got rich. And I learned one thing. You can't make a rich Mexican do shit. Something for my people. Yeah, I'm going to learn Spanish. I'm learning Spanish. I know Spanish. I know my Mexican name, Pendejo. He's my very good friend, right? But cats are like women, you know, they're very fussy. Dogs are like guys, you know, they'll eat anything. But cats, man, cat, like my cat. But when the first time I got him stoned, I didn't mean to. I just didn't see him in the room. And I didn't know he was stoned until I watched him walk off a table. And he didn't land on his feet. Then he got down, and then he remembered he was a cat and got all cool, you know. He would have got away with it except he got caught in those. Oh, yeah, he walked over to me and starts going. I thought I was going to death. That cat, man. Then I realized he's f***ed up. So I give him a little kitty throat test. And I threw him at the curtains and he didn't stick. I hate it when they give that kid rap. What about kids? I tell my kids, listen, if you're going to do drugs, replace them. You know what I mean? Nothing worse, you know, my kid, I come home, I go to my stash, and it's gone. I talk to my kid, and you've been smoking my dope, and he gives me this. No.
On the second day of the conference, I was invited on the main stage to give my perspective on the drug war. Introducing me is the MC of the event and the great comedian, Un Gallo.
And now, this cat comes all the way from Houston, Texas, where he has a radio show that can be heard in many markets all over the country. He's the founder and leader of the Drug Truth Network. Please put your hands together and welcome to stage the one and only Dean Becker. Everybody, Dean Becker.
I have a lot I want to say, but mostly I want to thank you for standing boldly, for speaking the truth, for enjoying your liberty. Because that's what it's really all about at its heart, I think. We have been duped. In my opinion, the drug lords run both sides of the equation. You know, that doesn't mean some guy in Colombia. That means the bankers, U.S. bankers that launder the bulk of the money that the cartels make. And it also includes the pharmaceutical companies who have bamboozled us for below these 91 years. December 17th will make 91 years since the passage of the Harrison Narcotics Act. And what they did at that time was take away your right to decide what drugs you can put into your body. And they've changed the laws, and they've got the Controlled Substances Act and the Interstate Commerce Clause, and they've got all these dollars in their pockets that fund their election campaigns. And where do these dollars come from? They come from the drug cartels, the banks, the pharmaceutical companies, the alcohol, the tobacco, the prison builders, the guards. All of these people want the drug war to last forever. They need the violence, they need the overdose, they need children to have easy access. They need you to be afraid to speak up. And that's what I try to do, is to encourage people to speak up, to write a letter to the Congress and send it to the local paper. Dare to talk about the substance.
As the wonders of cannabis was coming to an end, I got a chance to step out into Golden Gate Park with the organizer, Mr. Ed Rosenthal, to enjoy some truly fragrant flowers.
The Wonders of Cannabis was an exhibition showing all the wonderful things that cannabis can be used for by humans. It was meant to express the 5,000-year symbiotic history between the two species, humans and cannabis. You know, recreational use, medical use, industrial use, clothing, so many different uses, and it's such a wonderful non-polluting plant.
My observation
Everybody had a great time, felt they learned something, and walked away, I think, inspired a little bit by that information.
Yes, I think so. It looks like everybody has nice smiles on their faces and feels really good. I think the whole show was a success.
I'm sorry to say that's the extent of our useful audio taken at the Wonders of Cannabis event, but I do have this clip taken from the Hartford convention from a couple of weeks back from Oakland's Mr. Dale Gehringer.
He is the vice chairman of the National NORM Board of Directors, director of the California Drug Policy Forum, and treasurer of the Oakland Civil Liberties Alliance. He was one of the original organizers of California's Medical Marijuana Initiative, Proposition 215, the proponent of Oakland's Measure Z in 2004, and co-author of the Marijuana Medical Handbook. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Dale Gehringer.
Thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me here to Hartford. I'm coming from Oakland, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area, and my community, at least, wants to legalize drugs, at least marijuana. This is, in fact, a project that we're embarked on now. It's something that has been proceeding in fits and starts. And we still have a way to go, but I can say marijuana is halfway legal already in Oakland because, as many of you know, we have a medical marijuana law in California that at least allows that. And in the city of Oakland, we have four city-licensed dispensaries that sell medical marijuana for patients. But we'd like to go beyond that. And, in fact, last year, voter initiative passed, Measure Z, which puts the city on record as favoring making general marijuana available through legalized, taxed, and regulated system for general adult use, basically to keep it off the streets and away from kids and to raise some tax money for the city. We want to do that as soon as possible under state law, realizing that we can't do that just overnight. In the meantime, the initiative instructs the city to police to make enforcement of private marijuana offenses, adult marijuana offenses, lowest police enforcement priority. As you can see, this initiative passed by a overwhelming margin, actually, 65% of the vote. Now, I want to explain where this came from. And it really came from the medical marijuana business that we had in the first place. Now, when Cliff invited me to this conference, he told me, now, don't talk about medical marijuana. They don't want to hear about that here. But I do have to bring it up now. And I got to say, medical marijuana has a lot wider use than a lot of people really appreciate. When I first got into this, I sort of had the same impression that maybe most of you in this room do, that it was for, you know, some people with, you know, very sick with cancer, having chemotherapy, or maybe some multiple sclerosis or something. Turns out, though, it's useful for many, many conditions involving chronic pain, muscle spasticity, arthritis, back pain, migraines, symptoms of HIV, hep C, diabetes, post-traumatic stress, attention deficit disorder, depression. I could go on and on. It's turned out to have an amazingly wide application, and there's been quite a market for it. But the important point here is that Oakland, early on, became a center for distribution of medical marijuana through an institution, the Oakland Cannabis Buyers Cooperative, which was founded by a really inspired leader, Jeffrey Jones, back in 1996. Interestingly enough, this institution, which basically sells medical marijuana, is not strictly speaking legal under the state's medical marijuana law, much less federal law. Our Proposition 215 never really legalized distribution or sale. Nonetheless, it's tolerated and even encouraged in many communities, including my own, because it's turned out to be so successful to have these cannabis clubs to distribute marijuana. But it was a revolutionary enterprise in one respect in that it established that it was possible to actually legally sell marijuana to people and the sky did not fall in. People would walk into this place, they would buy their marijuana, they would walk out, and everything was fine. No problems with the police. They do respect the right to use medical marijuana in the city. No problem with crime. Everything seemed to be working fine. The Oakland Cannabis Buyers Cooperative had a lot of support within the community, amongst the civic leaders, and amongst law enforcement as well. Because it, for the first time, this established the model for responsible legal distribution of marijuana. Unfortunately, however, this is not federal policy. Federal policy calls for the illegal, irresponsible distribution of marijuana. Now, a lot of people from the rest of the country say, well, gee, you know, this must be those crazy Californians, those left coast people, they're selling pot there. You know, what kind of message are they sending to kids? There must be rampant drug abuse going on. And that is just simply not the truth. In fact, we have data on this. This is from our state attorney general's biannual surveys of student marijuana use, looking at how many students have tried it, really, in the last 6 months. And you'll notice that the trend has been downward, and that the trend started downward from almost the very moment that we passed our medical marijuana initiative in 1996. I can add that this experience has been true in other states that have medical marijuana laws, although it is not the pattern necessarily in other states in the country. And you might wonder, well, why is this the case? I can speculate. You know, once you say marijuana is medicine, you know, tell kids, now take your medicine. I don't know. I think it takes some of the glamour out of it. We definitely have a maturing user population, which is probably a good thing. Compared to other states, California does not have an outrageous amount of drug marijuana use in general. You can see on the bottom there, our adult use, we're 13th in the nation. We're behind most of the states in New England as far as marijuana use is concerned, just a percent or so above the U.S. average, a little bit above the rate here in Connecticut. Marijuana abuse has not been a problem, as it is not in the Netherlands also, which has full-scale legal adult access.
Okay, that's about it for today's Wonders of Cannabis report. Hope you enjoyed it. As we get into the holiday season, I promise to get back to the more basic cultural baggage structure. Here's a feature that we've been overlooking now and then. It's time to play Name That Drug by Its Side Effects. Persistent diarrhea, stomach upset, nausea and vomiting, bloody urine, fever, unusual bleeding, yellow eyes or skin, unusual tiredness or weakness, pseudomembranous colitis, dizziness, trouble breathing, and congestive heart failure. Time's up. The answer, penicillin, another FDA-approved product. I promise you I'll try to get an interview with Tony Serra and Eddie Lepp during the holiday season. And as always, I remind you, because of drug prohibition, you don't know what's in that bag. So, my friends, please be careful. To the Drug Truth Network listeners around the world, on behalf of engineer Philip Guffey, this is Dean Becker for Cultural Baggage and the Unvarnished Truth. The show produced at the Pacifica Studios of KPFT, Houston. Tap dancing on the edge of cannabis.